This morning we will be talking about the story or the parable of the five wise virgins compared to the five foolish virgins. This story is written in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, my dearly beloved, this parable is very powerful parable. And this parable is also one of the most difficult parable for many Christians, including many, many preachers, to understand the truth of this story. However, this parable and this truth will only be unveiled by the power of the risen Savior through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We must always dissect these parables in the light of the whole word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." The 10 virgins in here which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom refers to born-again Christians. The reason why we know that they are born again, number 1, is because they took their lamps. They're able to shine for Jesus. They have lamps. Now, if one is not born again, They do not have the Holy Spirit. They are not able to shine. But the very fact that they have their lamps, we know that they are able to shine because they are born again Christians with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Further, it says that they went forth to meet the bridegroom. So these are genuine believers. The only difference is 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3 says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. My dearly beloved, 5 of them were foolish simply because they took no oil with them. What is the meaning of oil? Oil, in this case, represent presence of the Holy Spirit. The 5 wise virgins took extra oil with them. They took the flask of oil. The foolish have the lamb. However, they didn't buy the additional flask of oil. The foolish virgins represent Christians. Even though they are born again, they walk in their flesh. The reason is that foolishness is the fruit of the flesh, and it is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The wise, however, we know that they are filled by the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of wisdom is the Spirit of the Lord. Now, foolishness is the spirit of the flesh when one walks in the flesh. And when one abides outside of Christ. Now, in John 15 tells us, Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. Now, keep in mind that when we abide in Christ Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit that will dwell in our heart and will take control of our whole being, including our mind, our tongue, our heart, and our footsteps. However, if we have sinned against God and abide outside of Christ, the power of darkness, the devil, will overtake that body. Even though one could be born again, one has many, many sinful lifestyles that have to be repented of. And foolishness is one of them. And when we abide outside of Christ, we bear not the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, keep in mind that the fruit of the Spirit includes 9 of them. It includes love, joy, peace, long sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So the foolish virgins are not abiding in Christ simply because Foolishness is the fruit of the flesh. My dearly beloved, if you manifest the fruits of the flesh, like pride, anger, foolishness, hatred, doubt, fornications, and so on, I will guarantee you that you are not abiding in Christ Jesus, and you do need to repent of all of those sins that you committed before you are able to abide in Christ once again. Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, and He is holy. He cannot dwell in the heart that is filled with darkness. For that reason, the Apostle Paul reminds us frequently not to grieve the Holy Spirit, or worse still, quench the Holy Spirit. When do we grieve the Holy Spirit? You may probably ask. It is when we walk in our flesh, in our sinful nature, continuously. Keep in mind, the moment we sin, the moment it darkens our spiritual eyesight, we do need to confess that sins immediately and not drag on it, because the Holy Spirit that indwell us will have to leave, because He cannot indwell in the heart that is filled with sins. For that reason, every Christian must constantly check before the throne of grace through prayers the list of sins if they did commit and confessed immediately the sins, in order to restore a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now let me repeat. Verse 2 says, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. We know that these two groups of virgins are born again Christians. The difference lies in verse 3 that says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. You see, you can have lamps in a short period of darkness. However, in the long period of darkness, that's when your lights begin to flicker out, simply because you have nothing to fall back on. There's no extra oil to fall back on. For that reason, verse 4 says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now I want to pause for a moment right here and tell you how to get the flask of oil that is written in John 15. The flask of oil is made up of many, many drops of oil, isn't it? Before it can add up to be the flask of oil. Now, in order to get even a drop of oil, we must practice the crucifixions of our flesh. Jesus tells us, if any man were to follow me as his disciples, we must, number one, deny ourselves, number two, take up the cross, and number three, follow him. Now, the purchase of the drop of oil will take place under the pruning knives of John 15. In other words, Jesus said, I will purge you if you begin to bloom. In John 15, the Lord tells us crystal clear that the main purpose of being ordained and chosen by Him is to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's the main purpose of being chosen as His sheep. Now, as born-again Christians, in order to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we cannot bear them through our flesh. Many, many born-again Christians do not understand this concept. They tend to resort to their own strength, to try to curb and control their own behavior, their own mindset, thinking that just perhaps by reading the Word of God and by hearing preachings and attending Sunday services, that they can bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a lie of Satan, of course, simply because the Apostle Paul has mentioned in Romans 7 that there is nothing good in the flesh. My friend, my dearly beloved, please pay super close notice that there is nothing good in the flesh. If the Apostle Paul have discovered this truth 2,000 years ago, you and I will not be able to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit through our own self-effort or the flesh, simply because our flesh is in the state, the fallen state of sin. It is not in our nature not to sin. I am sure you have discovered that as a Christian, especially once you are born again, the struggle between the light and the darkness, between truth and lies, between sin and not sin. It is impossible for a Christian not to sin 24 hours a day, 365 days and forever. Because the Word of God tells us that we have fallen into sin, and we are fallen miles short from the glory of God. Now, it takes the Holy Spirit to indwell in our heart for born-again Christians to begin to grow a little bit at a time, like a little baby once born again. From the mother's womb, the baby need to begin to grow as they suck milk from the mother. Likewise, spiritual life works the same way. When we are born again of the Spirit of God, we are but babies. And you know babies, they are not adult. They cry, they are not able to control themselves, and as they grow into even a toddler, they messed up with many dirts and messed their faces. That's what happened when my son was little. As I am also a mother, I understand because I give birth to my son. When he was little, he would do things that are very funny and sounds foolishness to an adult. However, because they're little, they think it is fun and it is cute. My son would get himself a mess with dirt on his head and hair and body and faces, and he would giggle and ran away whenever I took him and washed him, in order for him to be clean. As a little baby and a little child, they do not comprehend why a mother must take that child and find it horrible when they're filled with so much dirt. And as a mother, instinctively, I wash that child clean because it is a horror to the mind of an adult. Now, my dearly beloved, there are many, many Christians today that they are babies. They do not know when they sin. They think it's funny. They think it's okay because they are simply babies. And obviously, we know the Word of God tells us there are five that are foolish. Babies many times are foolish. And of course, because they're babies, that's how they behave. And so the Holy Spirit that indwelt in a Christian that is a baby is like a small light. A small light cannot see too far in the dark, while the big torch lamp can see far away the footsteps of the enemies out there, isn't it? You see, five of them were foolish, and five of them were wise. Now let me go back again to tell you how to obtain a drop of oil every time. Jesus tells us in John 15, as he prunes us, in order to bear fruit of the vine, in order to bloom the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, we must buy oil. You would say, what do you mean by buying oil? Let me explain to you. When knives comes across, the pruning knives, which refers to difficulties, problems, tribulations that was not the result of your sin, that is due to Satan, the enemy, coming to attack us, that is not, once again, the result of your sins, then it is called the knives. When the knives hit across us, we must remember to abide in Christ. What do you mean by abiding in Christ? In other words, we must remember His words and His promises. The word of the Lord Jesus is power, spiritual power that can counteract the enemies. And so, when we were under the knives, we must walk by faith. Faith not out of own strength, but faith in the Holy God who is always faithful to His words of promise. And Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words stay in your heart, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So when the knife cuts across to us, as we feel the pinch and the pain in our flesh, we must remember to quickly abide in Christ Jesus by faith and faith alone in His promises. And Jesus says, if we abide in Him, and of course, we by remembering His words, then ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. At this point of time, when the knives hits us, we must remember, with the heart of thanksgiving, by faith, we harness a drop of oil. My dearly beloved, The Apostle Paul says, in every single thing, we must give thanks. As we give thanks, when our flesh does not feel good under the crucifixions of the cross, we bloom. How amazing. This is why the five wise virgins took the chances, and as the power of darkness hits across in terms of the pruning knives, the five wise virgins did not forget the instructions of the Lord. The five wise virgins remembered the commandment of the Lord that says, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Dearly beloved, every single pruning knife is not comfortable to the flesh, but it is good for our spirit. Therefore, we must welcome them. We must not hate them. The more you hate your cross, the more you plummet in the flesh. For that reason, the five wise virgins remembered the voice of the Lord through his commandments and keeps his commandments and buy oil. And that drop of oil began to fill up a flask of oil that represents the power of the risen Savior. The life of Christ will begin to bloom and grow and grow and grow into maturity in Christ Jesus. You see, the word of God and the word of Jesus is life unto us. It is not useful for the carnal body and the carnal mind, but it is the things of the Spirit. The word of God, Jesus said, the carnal mind profiteth nothing. The body, the mind of the human being in a state of sin can never comprehend the word of God, which is spiritual. For that reason, he says, that the word of God is life and their spirit. You see, only the power of darkness recognized that, and of course the Holy Spirit. And so until unless we have the Holy Spirit, it is foolishness, just like the Apostle Paul says. The things of the Spirit is foolishness unto the natural man, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, if you don't understand what this means, it is like a fish that swims in water. The fish can only swim in water. They don't swim in the air where we live as a human being. You see, the fish can only operate in water. It is not possible, as the fish, to try to learn another fish to try to begin what human being is like living in the air. Does that make sense to you? You said, of course not. The fish trying to dissect another fish cannot conclude what a human being is like living in the air, isn't it? That's what our carnal mind does through the things of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells us that the carnal mind is enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, our carnal intelligence is enemies to the things of God, the things of the Spirit. For that reason, you can never learn them by the head, whether it is in theology, seminaries, or just by reading them. It takes the Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyesight to the truth of the Word of God. For that reason, my dearly beloved, if you are not born again, you will never comprehend the things of the Word of God in terms of the Spirit. You can read the Word of God and not comprehend. It's just like a fish in the water can never comprehend a human being that lives in the air. It takes the presence of the Holy Spirit that indwell in our heart. When the moment we confess our sins and cry to God genuinely, that's the moment the Holy Spirit will come through by the precious blood of Jesus, washed us all clean as we cry in genuine repentance unto Him. The Holy Spirit that is holy will begin to live in our heart as a born-again Christian. And a born-again Christian is a distinct experience. It is not a theory. Many people who are not born again, they will say, you know, I am not sure. But I can tell you for certainty because I am born again. I was born again. And when I was born again, more than 30 years ago, I remember vividly how I knelt on the bed. In tears would I weep over my sins. And it takes the love of Jesus in my heart to fill my heart with zeal ever since. And the Word of God, which I used to hate, I began to love beyond words that can say. I began to totally nourish and feed myself, like it or not, the Word of God with joy. It is beyond my control. When I became a born-again Christian, I became a witness for Jesus in school. It is beyond my control that I opened my lips to many, many of my friends about Jesus. You see, before that, I was not that way. On the contrary, before that, I hated the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would never even enter a place that worshiped Jesus. How amazing that the Holy Spirit began to totally change everything that I was before. For that reason, the Apostle Paul says, when we come to Christ, all things are passed away. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Do you behave this way? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Or are you still behaving in your old flesh? Now, once again, I must continue to let you know that being born again of the Spirit of God is not the end of the journey of the path of the cross. Many, many Christians think once they become born again, that is the end of their spiritual journey. My dearly beloved, this is absolutely a lie of Satan, an error. Because being born again is just the beginning of entering the path of the cross. For that reason, we must buy oil and begin to grow like a little baby growing in the Spirit and growing into a teenager and growing into an adult. And of course, into the full maturity of being fathers. You see, the journey of the cross is a long one, and it takes the absolute presence of the Holy Spirit. And for us as born-again Christians, we must respect and love the Holy Spirit, because it is He, the third person of the Trinity, that was sent into our lives that would be fully responsible to transform us and bring us into eternity at the end of that path of the cross. It is His responsibility to transform us to look like Jesus. For that reason, the famous promise of the Word of God that lies in Romans 8:28 says, "For all things will always work out for the good to those that love God." For what purpose? So that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. My dearly beloved, the five foolish virgins enters the path of the cross. Unfortunately, because they didn't take the extra oil with them and didn't listen completely to the Word of God and act it out and buy oil under the pruning knives, they could not make it. Now that is a tragedy. Because in verse 12, finally, when Jesus replied to them as they knocked the door and says, "Lord, Lord, open to us," Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Now, my dearly beloved, this is a tragedy. We do not want to walk, begin entering the path of the cross and not make it, isn't it? Jesus didn't say, "I know you." He said, "I know you not." Now that is disaster. Once we are born again of the Spirit of God, we must continue to grow and run along the journey. We cannot afford to just be disqualified, isn't it? That's the reason why the Apostle Paul many times through the scripture reminds us. And he said, in fact, he said, "I put my body under subjections, lest I preach to others that I would be a cast away." Now, if the Apostle Paul is constantly under alert, lest he would be a cast away, can you imagine what would become of us if we do not deal with our flesh and listen to the voice of our Master? My dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul is very cautious of how he labored and ran in the journey. Nothing would impede that journey. You see, the five foolish virgins refused to listen and act out and buy the oil. Many born-again Christians, they didn't know the truth. Every time they were hit by the knives, they grumbled, they complained, they hated the cross. They didn't realize that when they did that, they have faltered into darkness. They have pulled out the plug that brings the light, called the Holy Spirit. We must never, ever, ever grieve the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that will transform us, the power that constantly gives us the light. We must, just like the Apostle Paul says, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because the Spirit and the flesh are negating each other. They're contrary one to another. For that reason, as Christians born again of the Spirit of God, we must obey the Holy Spirit with the heart of thanksgiving by faith to buy the oil of the Holy Spirit. As we love our cross, as we practice godliness in our life by by coming to God frequently in prayers and remembering His words in our quiet times and every moment of it. We will remember, at the same time, how to buy oil. You see, it is extremely crucial, because that oil is the Holy Spirit Himself. As we crucify our flesh, the Holy Spirit will remind us, this is your knife. Don't forget to buy oil with a heart of thanksgiving. I have personally experienced this. And I've seen many, many born-again Christians, how they plummet in their flesh of pride. Many born-again Christians fell into the sins of pride, while others fell into the sins of doubt and discouragements, resorting to their own carnal intelligence, looking left and right instead of remembering the Word of God. And as a result, when they fall into darkness in their flesh and forgot to buy oil, they do not have the flask of oil ultimately. Perhaps this is a little bit difficult for you to comprehend. Let me give you a story, a real life story, of a servant of a living God by the name of Miss Esther Wong. Miss Esther Wong was my spiritual teacher years ago. She was imprisoned in China for 20 years for Jesus. But before she was imprisoned, our Heavenly Father gave her a notice, a voice coming through the sky in Shanghainese language began to be reeling through to her ear. She was originally from Shanghai. And so she shared with me her story, how she was about to be taken into jail for a long period of time, my dear. 20 years of jail in communist China is not funny. But the Lord knew of the great power of darkness attacking her and the long darkness that she is going to go through. And the Lord loves her and strengthened her and spoke to her because she needed it. So the Lord spoke to her and said, "You are going to go through great tribulations, in chain awaiting for you." When she heard that voice through the sky to her, incidentally, there was one person that the Lord God said have sold her to the communist. And Miss Esther Wong turned her head and said, "Who is that person?" And our Heavenly Father replied and mentioned the name of that young man, the young pastor, who came to pray with her and reported her case to the communists. And he was pretending to pray with her, asking for advice. My dearly beloved, this is very hard, because this man was treated by Miss Esther Wong as her own son. She did many, many kindness to him and treated him as her own son and even gave the coupons, the food coupon that was needed in communist China in order to buy food to his two children. And in return, he did just the opposite, sold her through the prayers to the communists in order to get credit for himself. And this young man was a pastor, by the way. For that reason, we must be cautious of the wolves in sheep clothing, the false prophets that are already out there surrounding us in everywhere, because Christ Jesus is coming soon for the second time, incidentally. For that reason, we must be alert. And so Miss Esther Wang was put to jail. And she has suffered many, many things physically, of course, and prepared to die in jail. My dearly beloved, she was the wise virgin that took the flask of oil with her in her daily living before the Lord God. You see, you don't know what's coming in front. But because she obeyed the voice of the Lord and took his commandments into her life very seriously, she got the flask of oil. And when she was put to jail, there was one major task, and test in her life, a test of faith. And her faith must be tested. Just like the Apostle Peter says, all our faith must be tested and must be found much more precious than gold, tried in fire, that someday will receive honor and praises from our Lord, isn't it? When we overcome all of those hurdles to his glory. So what happened in one of the evening classes of the indoctrinations of the communist doctrine, there was a group of perhaps maybe 20, 30 people. Of course, they're all women. And so one of the former Christians, because they tried to get credit from the communists, she stood up and trying to find fault with Miss Esther Wang. And she said, Esther, the churches are closed. The Bibles are burned. Where is God? Now, keep in mind, my dearly beloved, if you do not have the flask of oil, the terror and the fear of the power of the communists in jail, that alone would shut your spiritual system, like this person who quit Jesus in order to get out of the jail and hoping getting some credit from the communists. However, Miss Esther Wang, because she has bought a flask of oil and filled by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, she stood up in absolute courage, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but rather of love and, of course, of power and, of course, of sound mind. So she was filled with the boldness of Stephen, and she stood up and she said, true, it is true that the churches are closed and the Bibles are burned, but God is still alive. Not only then, but right now. My dearly beloved, she was absolutely filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit that controlled her tongue, that stood up in the name of Jesus, knowing her own consequences thereafter. She was then being mob attacked immediately, and she was being beaten down to the ground for 2.5 hours. My dearly beloved, she is risking her life, and she has the courage to meet death with joy. After 2.5 hours, she stood up, and she said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive every one of you. My dearly beloved, do you have that courage that she has? I can guarantee you one thing. Until unless you buy the flask of the 5 wise virgins, you will not have the courage to even open your mouth, let alone stand up for Jesus. You see, this is a reality. This is not a theory. So Miss Esther Wang stood up in the name of Jesus, and she is that 5 wise virgins. And incidentally, God did one miracle thing in her life when she was being beaten down. One of her former jailmates punched her ear so hard. Even though Miss Esther Wang did kindness to her by giving her things that like vessels or containers in jail, which is very, very difficult to come by, yet this prostitute punched her ear so hard that when she stood up, something from her ear, a huge clog, fell out. Because Miss Esther Wang, the jail conditions was so bad, she developed ear infections. And so her ear on one side was deaf. However, God put her faith to test, and she stood up to meet the challenges of the power of darkness by faith, simply because she bought the flask of oil, just like the five wise virgins. And as she stood up, as she was being punched by the ear, as the clock fell out from her ear, she could hear once again crystal clear. And of course, we know that all things will always work out for the good to those that love God. How amazing that our Heavenly Father, who is so wise and who is so lovable, is able to turn horrible instances for her good to His glory. Now, I want to continue saying this. That was the darkness that was mentioned in verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." What Miss Esther Wang went through was midnight. It is not just a little darkness, my dear. It's a long period of darkness. That means spiritually, long tribulations. Now, if we cannot handle a short darkness in our life, how can we handle a long darkness in our life? You see, the five wise virgins was put to test. They have the flask of oil to fall back on, just like Miss Esther Wang. So she was able to shine forth for Jesus for a very long, long time. As long as the darkness is there, she was continuously able to shine. It is common sense, isn't it, that flask of oil was the reason why her light was continuously running shiny. And verse 8 says in here, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." My dearly beloved, it is a common sense, of course, if you just got the lamp with no extra oil, not the flask of oil, when the long period of darkness comes, that lamp will run out of oil. And totally dried out of oil. And of course, as a result, the lamps are going out or will soon gone out. Now, there is a real story to illustrate this gone out light. There were two other lady preachers that were famous that were put to jail while Miss Esther Wang was also put to jail. And these two women are very famous preachers. They are assistant to famous preacher named Watchman Nee. And these two women, for the first few years, they have their lamps, but they didn't buy the oil. And as a result, they used their own strength to withstand the darkness. If that darkness is just 1-2 years, maybe, perhaps they could withstand with their own strength. But the darkness is a long, long darkness. And many times we don't know when the darkness will end. But we know one thing, those two, unable to withstand the darkness, and their lamps are gone out. Because they do not spend their time doing God's words. In other words, they were preachers, they know the truth, but they simply do not act out the word of God into their life. And obviously they don't have the flask of oil, they didn't buy them when the burning knives hits the cross in their life. We can only conclude, for the very simple fact that their lamps are gone out, that they didn't buy the flask of oil that Miss Esther Wang bought, right? As a result, they gave up Jesus Christ. They would like to get out of the jail because the environment was very, very hard. And the flesh is very, very difficult to go through without the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, obviously. I wouldn't be able to go through that. You wouldn't be able to go through that. Only the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the light of Christ. He is able to enable us to go through that. As a result, these two people decided to become communist and labor to get credit from the communists in jail. So they decided to look for problems against Miss Esther Wang, many times reporting to the communists what Miss Esther Wang did, in order hoping to get credit from the communists. Now, this is a disaster, my dear, because the Word of God tells us very clearly that the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. I have personally witnessed many, many cases when a born-again Christians are stifled spiritually. When the Holy Spirit left that body, immediately the power of darkness takes over and the whole personality, mindset, and character become just like the devil. I have seen too many of them in my life. It is very scary when that transactions and displacement took place, where the Holy Spirit is stifled and the power of darkness come through. That person's ending is tragedy. Instead of looking like a Christian ought to look, they look exactly like the devil and many times worse off than unbelievers. So the devil took over the two women's hearts and they become hardened unbelievers. And against Miss Esther Wang, they tried to do everything in order to get their freedom of the flesh and out of the jail. Unfortunately, God is in control of our situations. My dearly beloved, it is not men, it is not the communists, but God is in control of our destiny. It is very sad because they don't have the flask of oil. They cannot withstand that long, long midnight darkness. Neither can they handle their flesh any longer, that they quit on Jesus. As a result, they both died in jail, a tragic death, an ugly death, disgraceful death. While Miss Esther Wang, even though she was ready to die for Jesus in jail, she finally left the jail by the power of the risen Savior to come to America to witness for Jesus. How amazing. Hallelujah. Amen. So the final advice for the wise virgins in verse 9 says, "But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Many times, my dearly beloved, it is sad to see many, many born-again Christians not obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. They choose to walk like Esau does. Even though they're supposedly born again, they behave not any better than unbelievers. Their mindset is just for the temporal, for their tummy. The God is their belly, just like the Apostle Paul says. And as a result, even though they go through the door, they end up as a goat. They end up fruitless as the third ground. Unable to bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit simply because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord, neither uplift the Holy Spirit by walking in the Spirit. It doesn't matter whether you are just a regular Christian. It does not matter whether you are a preacher, an evangelist, a pastor. It does not matter what your identity is. God looks into the heart of men. We can never deceive Almighty God, because simply God sees through everything, past, present, and future, and of course, for eternity. And so the five foolish virgins at this point of time, it is a little late to buy, isn't it? You see, when we buy, when there is the right timing to buy, we don't try to buy when it is no more time for buying. You see, Jesus tells us that we've got to be watchful and prayerful. Don't let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things and the pleasures of this world choke us. We've got to constantly watch out for these factors in our life. Don't let the enemy overwhelm you. It doesn't matter whether it's for money or for your schoolwork. It's still for money. Ultimately, like Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It is not possible. Those two roads are opposite, right opposite of each other. One is a narrow path and one is a broad way. As a born-again Christians, we cannot go backward and walk in the broad way. That is a disaster. We must continue to joy ourselves in the Spirit and uplift the Holy Spirit to walk joyfully and willingly and manfully, denying ourselves, taking up the cross, and follow Him to the finish line. Don't walk through halfway, just like our Lord says. Pre-calculate the cost of walking with Him, lest you walk through halfway, you discover you couldn't make it. That is the most tragic things, isn't it? And as a result, the five foolish virgins did just that. When they should buy the oil, they didn't buy. When it's time to meet the boss, to meet the bridegroom and our Lord and our Master, then they decided they need to buy. All of that are all the actions called foolishness. For that reason, the Lord called them the foolish virgins. Unfortunately, because they are not ready, when the bridegroom came, and it says right here, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins. Of course, we're talking about the foolish virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And we know the ultimate ending when Jesus says, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." My dearly beloved, I pray that you would not walk like the five foolish virgins. Let us choose to walk like the five wise virgins. For that reason, the Lord's advice on verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And the word of the Lord tells us, the word of Jesus tells us, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now it is a tragedy when you are born again that your name is written in the Lamb book of life. But by the same token, we are being weighed by the angels, the good and the bad, on the judgment seat of Christ, just like the Apostle Paul mentioned, whether it is good or evil, well, we'll be judged on that seat. Now, just like the goats, the five foolish virgins do not make it. For one simple reason, they do not overcome. The five wise virgins, they overcame. And so they qualify to wear the white raiment of linen. Now, the five foolish virgins, unfortunately, it is not my word. I could feel sympathy with them, but it is the word of the Lord that we must put our attention. As I read earlier in Revelations 3, verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." My dearly beloved, there is a lot of misconceptions in many, many churches. When they preach the gospel, they water it down. Come and believe in Jesus and be baptized and come to church and fellowship, and that's good enough. But that is the lie of Satan. It is not the truth. The truth of the matter is, read your Bible. It is written in Revelation 3, 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." I personally would like to help the five foolish virgins to get in the kingdom of heaven. However, I cannot downgrade nor discount the word of Jesus, because then I am the one that will be thrown in the lake of fire for not being faithful, isn't it? And Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I can guarantee you, the word of God says right here, but the fearful. Even though you are born again of the Spirit of God, are you still filled with fear? If you do not abide in Christ Jesus, and if you do not have the Holy Spirit as the Lord of your life, I can guarantee you, as you walk in the flesh, you are still under the law. You are still experiencing the power of fear, because deep in your heart, there are many, many things of the devil, the lies of Satan, that needed to be transformed and washed by the blood of Jesus. My dearly beloved, the qualifications of the lake of fire, the first word is the fearful. Now, that is scary, isn't it? As long as you experience the fearful, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. That is not my word. Read Revelation 21, verse 8. As for the five wise virgins, they enter into the marriage of the Lamb. Dearly beloved, that event is so precious. That event is what Jesus Christ came for, apart from saving us. He is going to bring us into eternity, into that marriage with Him, Him being the groom and we being His bride. That event is magnificent. That event requires absolutely looking like Jesus to get in there. For that reason, I will read Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8 to conclude this message. Verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Verse 8, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." My dearly beloved, the five wise virgins qualify to wear the fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen represent the righteousness of the saints that is produced by the Holy Spirit as they uplift the Holy Spirit in their life. Before long, as they grow and grow and grow, they look like Jesus. They bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that radiates godliness, looking like the Master. Unconsciously, they look like Jesus. And they began to bear the fruits of love, joy, peace, long sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My dearly beloved, these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit can only be born in the heart of the five wise virgins that bought the flask of oil, that have uplifted the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of their life and have crucified their flesh at all times and die daily for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Just like the Apostle Paul says, always bearing in our body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may be manifested in us. My dearly beloved, have you walked in the ways of the five wise virgins? Or do you choose in the past, if not right now, the path of the five foolish virgins? I will pray while there is time not to walk like Esau, not to walk like the five foolish virgins. May you repent of your sins and cry before God, so that you can walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, confess all of your sins, remember His promises, uplift the Holy Spirit, because someday it might be too late. The last things we want to hear from our Master is, "I know you not," and your name be deleted at the judgment seat of Christ. That is the truth. We cannot hide that truth. It is all in the Scripture. May the Lord richly bless you, my dearly beloved, for we must now part once again. And may I petition through prayers for you, and once again, my dearly beloved, that we must be victorious. It is not how much we know by the head. It is not how much we preach by the mouth. But it is living before His eyesight, because He is a God of the living. He sees through deep in our heart every single moment of line of thought in our brain. What do we think every day? How do we behave every day? Do we live in front of Him, before Him? Do we think of the things of mammon and worship mammon, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, or the pleasures of this world. What is it that govern our life every day before Him? Are you living before Him? Or are you simply living like a drunkard for your flesh? Once again, may the Lord richly bless you with His own word. And once again, I pray that you choose, as the five wise virgins, always walking with His wisdom as you abide in Him and uplift the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious name we ask and pray for. Amen.